Thank you so much. I was just thinking as we were singing number 20, Joy to the World the Lord has Come. You read that hymn, I think you will notice that it deals with the second coming. And the reason I'm saying that is because the second coming is very near. The coming of the Lord draws nigh. You know, it's no more that sin and souls grow. Well, that's going to happen when the Lord comes back and sets up his millennial kingdom. Didn't happen when he came the first time. He rules the world, not yet. See, that's still future. But it's as good as accomplished. He will. There's no question about it. So that's speaking not of the rapture either, but it's speaking about his coming in glory and great power when he really is going to rule the world in righteousness. It'll be a wonderful time when he comes back. And of course, it all being still in his first coming. If he hadn't come the first coming, he couldn't come the second time. Now let's turn to the Word of God. I was just thinking about a couple of verses in my mind. What the Lord Jesus said, and for all of us, he said, take heed how you hear. And he said, take heed what you hear. It's good to know the word so you can detect if whoever is speaking the truth according to the Word of God. And secondly, take heed how you hear. That's your attitude. That's very, very important. If you come with an attitude, I know more than he knows, you won't get anything. Or if you come with an attitude of stubbornness and not submission, you won't get anything. It's only as we submissive to the Word of God and have the attitude, you remember what Samuel speaks, and he should have said, Lord, thy servant hear it. When we come like that, then we get a blessing. But if we come otherwise, we won't get nearly as much blessing as we come in the right attitude. So it's very, very important, the attitude by which we hear the Word of God. I want to read, tonight we said we're going to speak on the ministry of women. I first want to read a few verses from Genesis chapter 2, right from the beginning. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Verse 18. The Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Now, did you ever stop to think what a tremendous mind Adam must have had? He had no book of knowledge, or he didn't have anything like we have to draw on today. What a mastermind he must have. Just fresh from the hand of God to name all these creatures, give names to all of them, and they stuck with them. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an helpmeet or suitable for him. All that had been created could not communicate with him. And I want to tell you that one of the greatest things in a husband and wife relationship is communication. And if there's one thing I miss in my life now, is to be able to communicate. We no longer can communicate. He's not able to. And you miss that. I want to talk things over with and counsel together, you know, advice and all this, that a husband and wife can be so helpful to each other. And that's why they were not suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took out of the ribs and took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. God performed the first wedding. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife and they shall be one flesh. And God add his blessing to that scripture. Let's just turn to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Just a couple of verses there for now. We'll come back to more. Verse 8. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. But the neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. That's the same as in Genesis. Now I have a big subject tonight, half an hour to give it, so we're not going to cover it very good. And I'm not complaining about the time. You're giving me plenty of time. I'm not complaining about that. It's just a big subject. But I want to think a little bit about this great subject. Sometimes people think that some of the brethren preachers, you know, they're against the women. I couldn't be farther from the truth. Woman is a wonderful being. And without a woman, none of us would be here. We all have to have a mother, don't we? And women had many faces of privileges and honor. She bare the Lord Jesus Christ, the Virgin Mary. A woman was the first to see him after his resurrection. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Wonderful privilege. And as you go through the Old and New Testament, you'll see many great and wonderful godly women, women God has used down through the centuries. However, there's distinction. God has a definite purpose for man, and he has a purpose and a place for the woman. And first, I want to just mention her place in creation that we read. And in 1 Timothy 2, verse 13 and 14, we read this, Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Adam was first formed, the woman was second. And as we read in Corinthians, man was not made for the woman, but the woman was made meet, suitable for the man. To compliment him, to make him one complete. He called their name Adam, you remember. Together, they were one person. That's very important. That's a great secret of a happy marriage life. When you become one, that you're one in everything. Not going different ways and different persons and all these other things, but that you're one. And can trust each other. That's very, very important. Then her purpose in creation was, I'll make him and help me. That was the purpose of the creation. But her position in Christ is the same as man. Galatians tells us that there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. Ye are all one in Christ Jesus. That's all standing or position in Christ. There's no difference. However, there is distinction when it comes to the home and to the assembly and so on. Each one has a place. And one of the sad things about the world today is many things out of the place. Many things wrong with the church is the same things out of place. There's nothing like God's order. It's the best. If you want a happy home, you follow God's order and you'll have it. If you have it the other way, you'll have hierarchy. And it doesn't matter, even if a woman may be smarter than a man, more capable than a man, better educated than a man, all that. If she takes the headship of the home, he's always resenting it. Man resents that, and it doesn't make for a happy relationship. Never does. Now, her position in relation to the husband was to supplement him, to support him, and to strengthen him. And help me. Someone that he helped for. Couldn't be better, could it? I think it's a wonderful thing that God had made such a provision that he had provided some person for us to live together, someone you love and look up to and just taken up with, and you can be together the rest of your life. It's a wonderful privilege. And then she is to love her husband. There's only one scripture that tells her to do that. That's in Titus chapter 2. The aged women are to teach the young women to love their husband, to love their children. Home should be a shelter for the man where he comes into sort of a haven. Oh, I remember when I'd be away preaching other things, or up late visiting, dealing with souls. I'd come home late, my wife would always be up. She wouldn't go to bed, she'd be working. And she'd always meet with open arms and a kiss and embrace. There's something to look forward to get home to, you know. It's a wonderful thing to have a helpmeet. And these are the things you miss when you haven't got them. So those of you that have your wives and your husbands and all, with all the faculties, be thankful to make use of it. A wonderful thing to have. And then she's to submit to him, even as the church submits to the Lord Jesus. That's her position in the home. Fifthly, her position in the assembly. I'm going to come to the most delightful part when I come down to the sixth thing, and that'll be her areas of service. But first I want to speak a little bit about her position in the assembly. It's carried over from the home that she's to be in submission to male leadership. When the Lord chose his 12 apostles, he chose all men. The apostles and deacons in the New Testament were all men. When he sent out the 70, there were men. For public ministry, he put men in the forefront. But there's many things man can't do that woman can do. And that doesn't mean that she's inferior, just each one has a different role in life. And dear ladies, never think that you're inferior or that you can't do anything. By the time I get done with this, you'll see there's so many things you can do in the service of the Lord and be richly blessed and rewarded by and be such a blessing to others. Now, a scriptural place then in the assembly is that of submission. And then you have her silence. It says in 1 Timothy 2 that the women learn in silence with all subjection. That's in the church gathering, in the assembly gathering. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. I remember one time reading Ephesians 5 in a home, and the home, of course, they had come in from the outside into the assembly, and the woman was inclined to be the boss in that house. And as I was reading, she kept interrupting me. And she said, "That's what you say." I said, "I'm only reading the scriptures." She didn't want to bow to that. But I want to tell you something. Today she's a different woman. She wears a head covering. She's,
She was very submissive to her husband. The last number of years she lived, she bowed to the truth of the Word of God. And that's a beautiful thing to see when God changes people inwardly so they become differently outwardly. And it says she must not usurp authority over the man. She should not usurp. She is not to teach nor usurp authority. And 1 Corinthians 14 says, let your women learn in silence. Now, I didn't write it. God the Holy Spirit wrote it. And that's why I say we need to have a submissive attitude as we hear what the Word of God says. And then, we think about the symbol of a place in the assembly. You'll notice in 1 Corinthians 11, there are three heads, there are three glories, and there are two coverings. The three heads, God, Christ, man. Three glories, God, man's, and the woman's. Two coverings, the veil, and the hair. Two coverings. You'll see that as we just briefly opened it up. I can't take too much time on it. But I noticed in... I'll look to that in a minute in the New King James, where it speaks about the angels. For this reason, a woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head. I'm speaking about the symbol of her place in the assembly. You see, if we men all came in with our hats on, it would be exactly the same as you ladies came in with no hats on or no covering. Exactly the same. What would a man be doing if he comes in with his hat on? He's covering the glory that would represent the glory of God. Man represents the glory of God. And the glory of God must not be covered. And if the covering speaks of the hair, then only people like me with even less hair than me would be allowed to preach. Isn't that right? Not to have his head covered. Only a few of us bald-headed fellows would qualify. But it's talking about the different color covering you can put on and off. Now, woman represents the glory of man. And that's why the woman covers her glory, and her hair is her personal glory that covers the natural hair. The long hair is a glory to her, and I love to see a woman with long hair. But that glory, which represents the glory of man, is covered. God's glory should be seen in the assembly of his saints, not man's glory. There's no place to show off man's glory. We need to show off God's glory. You see, that's the reason. And the reason a woman should wear the symbol is that she wants to please the Lord. She wants to do what he wants her to do, regardless what it is. Whatever he said unto you, do it. She wants God's glory to be seen. That's why a woman wants to cover her head. And that's a good reason, isn't it? And she wants to be a testimony to the angels. That's what it says there in that from the New King James. It's a symbol that she's under the authority of the man to the angels. In contrast to Eve, who acted independently, this woman was not going to do that. She's going to be in submission, a good, godly woman. It's a very small item, though, really, to obey. So long hair is her covering of the bare head, and it's her glory, but that glory also should be covered when you're in God's assembly of saints. So only the bare head of man, which represents the glory of God, will be seen. And then it also speaks about nature teaches us a man should not have long hair. A woman's hair should be longer than a man's, And we have gone through all kinds of fads. But it's so good if we can follow. Could you say, how long should her hair be? How long should her hair? I don't know, but I know that a woman ought to have more hair, a longer hair than a man, and that's, I know that much. You ought to be able to distinguish them. One is a male and the other one is a female. Like a man was performing a wedding or some of these freaks, you know, and after he did, he says, why don't you kiss the bride? He didn't know which one was the man and which one was the woman. He just said, why don't you kiss the bride? They look so much alike. And that's what Satan wants to do, break down male and female and have the unisex. Same kind of haircut, same kind of dress, same kind of everything, you know. So men become to look feminine, carrying curses and all the rest of it. That disgraced the manhood. Now I want to speak a little bit about her area or sphere of ministry. Number one, as a good wife. I tell you, that's a great ministry. You be a good wife. Love your husband. Love your children. And be a good wife that supports and strengthens your husband. He speaks about Sarah in 1 Peter, you know. That's the thought in 1 Peter chapter 3. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. And when you turn back to Genesis, where this is referring to, it says, therefore Sarah laughed within herself when you told she was going to have a son, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, and my Lord, Abraham, being old also, she respected her husband. And that's right back then. And she said it in her own heart. She didn't say it out loud, but she was submissive in her heart to her husband, Abraham. A good wife. Ruth was another loyal wife, wasn't it? Why, when she took her stand to go with Naomi, I tell you, there was loyalty after that. Wives should be loyal. And Jochebed, how she stood with her husband when the Pharaoh was killing the men's children. They stood for something. It cost something. Encouragement to them. Priscilla was such an encouragement to her husband in taking people into the home and teaching them the Word of God more perfectly than they could have followed. That being a good wife. But then as a mother, think of the influence of John Wesley's mother. Think of the influence of Hudson Taylor's mother. When she came home, or even while she was away, she knew God had answered the prayer. Hudson Taylor was wonderfully converted. He told about Rita Hall. These godly mothers praying for their boys. Oh, to be a mother and to raise a family that'll go up for God. You know, in Scotland, there was always a lot of preachers came forth from there because of godly mothers praying mothers. Mother, you're a very, very important person. Don't you think that being a mother and a wife isn't important? It's the greatest calling you'll ever have. It's far greater than being a professional woman or politician or anything else. This is the highest thing you can be for God, is a good wife and a good mother bringing up your children in the ways of God. You can spend more time with them than your husband can. And that's a great privilege to be a good mother. And then I see a woman too, sometimes having great appreciation of spiritual things and worship the men. And I'll tell you a good example of that was Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Mary was closer to the Lord, I believe, than any other person in the life of Christ. She never questioned all his prophetic prophecy regarding his sufferings and all that. You never saw her at the tomb looking for the body. She sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus. She had deep appreciation of the person of Christ. She anointed his body, preparing him for the burial. That woman has spiritual insight. We often find out that some good, godly women have far more spiritual insight than their husbands. Mary Magdalene was another woman who loved the Lord and, of course, appreciated the Lord, even though she shouldn't have been looking for the body, she actually believed the word of Christ when he was here. And then I think of Manoah's wife. That was Samson's mother. Remember, the angel spoke to her, not to the husband, because she had a deeper spiritual insight than her husband. I tell you, women, there's all kinds of things you can enter into. And then Ruth, the spiritual insight she had. She said, remember, to Naomi, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from falling after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do unto me, and more also, unto but death part thee and me. Here is a Moabite, for the spiritual insight to sow thee out for the Lord and the things of God. She had depth to her. Conviction. And then there's another great privilege, as we mentioned, about the aged or the older, the mature sisters being teachers of the word, teaching the young women, Titus chapter 2, to be a real student of the word so you can teach the others and help them when they're busy raising their family. It's a great privilege, and Priscilla was a great partner with her husband, Aquila, in teaching the word to new people and converts. There's a place for it in the right place. Not public ministry, but much in the private sector. And children, how is Eunice, Lois and Eunice, they taught young Timothy, teaching the children. What a great thing. You're writing into them things that will never, like Moses' mother, what he learned from her, he never forgot. When he was at age, he knew God had a plan and a call for him. He knew he wasn't an Egyptian. She had instructed him and it stayed with him. The Catholic Church used to say, give us a child that he's 7 and we have him. You can do what you like, but we got him. Ingrain them in the truth when they're young. And then there's the ministry of hospitality. Some have entertained angels unawares. I'm sure referring to Sarah. And that's a great ministry, the hospitality. What a privilege it was to entertain the Lord himself and the two angels. Remember the Lord Jesus said, inasmuch you've done it unto me, you've done it unto or one of these little ones, you've done it unto me. So when you do it, it's unto the Lord. It takes on a new meaning. What have you got in your hand, Moses? I said, the Lord told down, God used it. What have you got in your hand? You've got a nice house. You can know how to cook. You know how to entertain. Use it! And then teach those people that come in the word of God. That's what they need. That's how I learned a lot when I was in England. People given to hospitality, sharing. And I tell you, they didn't have much to share during the war. So all rations. Things were meager. But we all shared. We took our ration card along and we shared what we had. And I think what the Lord said about Mary, she had done what she could. That's all any of us can do. But there's things we can do, friends. My, to have a home where people are welcome. They can feel the love of Christ. Ministry of hospitality. The great Shunammite woman with Elijah, remember, she built the prophet's chamber for him, had it built. Think of Lydia, who entertained Paul and Silas. And then the family was started at Philippi because of that. Wonderful, you know, what entertaining can do. And John, Mark's mother had that big upper room where it was used for the Lord and so forth. And then there's also prayer ministry as prayer warriors. Think of Sarah, how she prayed. I tell you, she knew something about it. And Hannah, another godly woman, she prayed for a son. That's who I was thinking about, not Sarah, but Hannah. And she said, she called his name Samuel, saying, because I've asked him of the Lord. And from then to Beersheba, they came to know that he was a prophet sent of God. What a great thing to pray for. Praying for godly children that will serve the Lord. And give them to him before they're born. Jochebed, how she must have prayed as the her daughter was watching as the princess came and found the little babe weeping there in the bulrushes. And think of the outcome. Think of that outcome. And then the women in the book of Acts chapter 12, you'll notice there in Acts chapter 12, it was a sister's prayer meeting. You didn't notice that. I want you to notice verse 17. As Peter, but he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declaring unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and he said, go show these things to James and the brethren. They were not there. It's a women prayer meeting they had there for Peter to be set free, and they didn't believe it when he was set free. Sometimes God answers our prayer even when we're full of unbelief. Isn't he gracious? He surely is. And then there's the ministry of song and music. Our dear sister play here as a service unto the Lord. And some sisters have beautiful voices to sing and praise the Lord and honor him and giving out the glorious truth of God through beautiful scriptural songs. And there's poetry. Many women have written beautiful poetry concerning the Lord Jesus. There's so much women can do and have done and have accomplished, have left their mark. And then there's the practical ministry, you know, like the women that accompany the Lord Jesus. It says a certain women in Luke 8, verse 2 and 3, had been healed of evil spirit, Mary Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Shusa, the head steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. They ministered to the Lord Jesus and shared what they had with him, because he had no home and no place to lay his head. He didn't have money. When he needed money, he had to go and catch a fish to pay taxes. But they ministered to him. And the Lord says, as much as you've done on one of these little ones, you've done on one of me. Dear sisters, it's a tremendous field of service to the Lord in many, many areas. You don't have to be discouraged that you can't do anything. Don't be like I was when I was young, you know. I always want to do something that's just beyond me. What I could do as a boy, I wasn't so much interested. I want to do something the older boys were doing. And don't feel I want to do what the men are doing. You do all that God has laid out for you that you can do. Your hands will be more than full. And your heart will be too. You'll be blessed. And Peter, remember, mother-in-law, when he healed her, she rose right up and ministered unto him. Martha, Martha, you comforted that much servant. She was a servant too. Many of them served the Lord. And Dorcas, you remember, she died and Peter came and raised, and she had done so many good arms and deeds, and he showed all the things she had done. All the things that the ladies can do. Wonderful. Then there's the witnessing. And you might think I'm bragging all the time about my wife, but she was a great witness. That's why she took a lot of these people into home and fed them and treated them royally so she could witness to them, give them tracts and send them off with a message. She always did that. She knew no strangers. And I think of the woman of Samaria, the little maid, you remember, that witnessed and said to the great general, oh, if you only were where the man of God was. She wasn't bitter because she was a prisoner. She was a witness. Paul wasn't bitter because he was a prisoner. He was a witness to the God that he was chained to. And as a result of people in Caesar's household have been converted. witness. Yes. And then the women of the resurrection, you remember, they ran and they told the people. They were witnesses. And very quickly, there's some courageous woman too. Jochebed, she stood with her husband in danger. Noah's wife, she must have been a brave woman with all the ridicule and persecution to stand and to be such a good mother that all the family came into the ark. She was a good mother. Good, courageous woman. And we mentioned Ruth with the bold stand she took. Those jail, you remember, who put the spike into Sisera's head. And there was Deborah, the woman judge there, that in Judges 5, we read about that glorious song, poetry, or whatever you like. And then, of course, there was Rahab. She wasn't afraid to hide the spies. She's mentioned in Hebrews 11 as one of the great people of faith. Oh, there you have women, used of God. Don't think you haven't got a place. You do. As much of the woman's place in creation, Adam was first formed, then the woman. Her purpose was to be a helpmeet. Her position in Christ is equal with the man. There's neither male nor female at position. Her position in relation to her husband is to be subject to him and to love him. Her position in the assembly is subjection, and the scriptural place is not that of leadership. Lord, she was all men when it came to assembly leadership, and then her silence and the symbol of a place, the covering. And then we went down the line on being a good wife, a mother, being a spiritual worshiper, teacher of the word, ministry of hospitality, prayer, and ministry of song and music, practical ministry of helping, and witnessing, and then being courageous for the Lord. May God bless these thoughts to all of our hearts tonight. Dear sisters, may the Lord encourage you, and thank God that He has given you such privileges. And we thank the Lord for the sisters. None of us men would be here without them. And we just thank God for you. But we each need to know our place, why God has put us where He has, and then function in that proper area. As far as a brief word of prayer. Father, we thank Thee for Thy divine order, for the great God that does all things well. We bless Thee for this time together. We thank Thee for each one present. We thank Thee for their attention. And we just pray that anyone's attitude will be that which will receive Thy word with an open mind and heart. Bless, we pray Thee. Bless those that could not be here. Remember those that are sick and recovering. We commend them to Thee. Dismiss us now with Thy blessing. We thank Thee for this evening together. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank Thee and we pray. Amen.